Brazos Stories with Hugh Stearns is a podcast that encompasses the characters and stories of the Brazos Valley, as the fabric of a community is woven from the threads of the stories of the people who reside within. In this podcast, Hugh, a local business owner and lifelong resident of the Brazos Valley, interviews individuals you may know or should know who are contributing to our community life.
The mission of this podcast is to tell the stories of the Brazos Valley that will create a strong sense of community in a way that builds bridges across the divides. Our goal is increased understanding and empathy. We do this because our mission at Stearns Design Build is to design and build health and happiness. We seek to do this in the homes of our clients and in the broader community as well.
Okay, we're here with Megan Meekma from Project Hope and Hope's Locker, two really wonderful programs in our community that she's going to tell us all about. But Megan, before we get into that, tell us a little about you. Where'd you grow up and how'd you get to where you are?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. We appreciate you reaching out. You know, any kind of exposure is really good for our program. But I grew up about 2 hours from Bryan College Station in a little town called El Campo. And then I went to Texas A&M, got a bachelor's in psychology here, my senior
something
year.
Something we share.
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah, it's awesome. And then I went on to get a master's in forensic psychology from the University of Houston, Victoria. But when I was at A&M, I met a Bryan, like born and raised Bryan boy. He joined the military. We lived in upstate New York for almost 6 years. And then eventually after we had our son, we were like, okay, it's time to come home. And Bryan always felt like home, obviously for him, but for me too. So we decided to come back to this area. So we've been here, I guess, since 2018, I think.
Ah, nice. So what is forensic psychology?
So it is basically just psychology that you apply in forensic/criminal settings. When we lived in New York, I did a lot of work with like CPS and like child advocacy centers. And so I got to see kind of like the law enforcement side of child welfare, which I was like, okay, that is super interesting. Let me get into that, which kind of inspired me to get a master's in forensic psychology versus other sorts of psychology. And I now have, I'm an LPCA currently. So yeah, just kind of diving into all realms of psychology.
Yeah. My area was cognitive, but so it's a little different.
A little bit.
So you have always been in social services. Tell me what, you know, kind of what inspired that? What in your childhood made you want to take that path?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the cliche answer, right? I just wanted to help people, but I grew up in a single mom household, had two younger twin sisters. And so from a very young age, I just felt, like this nurturing side of me. And I was like, I just want to go on to help. My focus when I started the psychology track was children. I was like, I really just want to help kids. Which led me again to like CPS and child advocacy and child welfare. And it eventually has kind of broadened into other things. I was a director at the Sexual Assault Resource Center here in town for 3 years. And so I got to see kind of like the older youth and adult side of stuff. And then now at Bryan ISD, I'm back to youth. And so I'm just kind of in a place where I just wanted to help and make a difference, because mental health is a real thing. And it's finally starting to become kind of like a norm that people are accepting and talking about. So getting a hand to help people in that aspect is super important to me.
Yeah. And it's an issue for everybody, but that issue is really exacerbated if you live in poverty. So your services are geared toward people who are in poverty, right?
They are. So we do. So we service all of Bryan ISD students and their families. So we don't have like an income base that you have to meet. But typically the clients that we serve are our lower income students and families. So that is a huge part of our program.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people don't realize how poor our county is. Mm-hmm. We're in the top 10% of poorest counties in Texas. Our poverty rate is almost 25%. It's a little lower than that, but it gets close. Mm-hmm. In Texas, across all of Texas, it's 15%. And people are quite poor long before they hit the poverty level. So our need here is really, really great. So tell us a little bit about what you do for the kids.
Yeah, so we kind of dub Project Hope as a student support program. Again, we service all of Bryan ISD students and their families. And then our office also has a special emphasis on our homeless and our foster care students separately versus the general population of students. But we do like practical needs. So we have a clothing closet and we have a food pantry. We have hygiene products, backpacks, school supplies. So kind of those practical care items that students need, as well as on the back end, we house all of the district social workers out of our office. I supervise those social workers. And so we also get to help on the social emotional aspect, the mental health needs. The connections to outside agencies that, you know, resources that Bryan ISD doesn't have, but we know other agencies have them. So just making sure that they're connected to those agencies. So we do like a little bit of everything in this office.
Yeah, that is a wide spectrum of things that you're dealing with. So, and you work within a network of other social organizations in town. Tell us a little bit about who else you're networking with and how you all work together.
Yeah, so we're involved with a lot of different kind of community groups where a bunch of these different nonprofit agencies come together to, you know, lay everything on the table. Hey, this is our program and these are the services that we can offer, you know, and everyone lays it out so we know who to reach out to when certain services are needed. I mean, gosh, just to name a few off the top of my head, Twin City Mission, On Ramp, Methodist Children's Home, basically any nonprofit in this area, Sweet Oak Collaborative, St. Vincent de Paul, Catholic Charity, Salvation Army. You know, we're, again, our office, we take care of like the homeless and foster care students. So we're a part of the Brazos Valley Homeless Coalition that meets quarterly. So that's a ton of agencies in the Brazos Valley that come together to discuss like housing issues. And we're involved in any community kind of event that we can be.
Yeah. So I know that, you know, we don't see as many homeless people, especially in College Station, but in Bryan College Station both, mm-hmm. as you do in some urban areas. So I think a lot of people have the sense that we don't have homeless people, right?
Right.
Which is definitely not the case. Can you give us a sense of how large that issue is? How many students in Bryan ISD are dealing with homelessness?
Yeah, I agree. People think that this doesn't happen here. You know, that happens in Houston, that happens in Austin. But unfortunately, it is kind of happening in our backyard. And the educational definition of homelessness is a little different. So it's a little broader. It's basically an unstable nighttime residence, which, you know, most of our students who are, their families are doubled up living with other family members, or they're couch surfing. We unfortunately have a lot of families that live kind of in and out of hotel rooms. So those sort of things all qualify them as homeless under TEA. But at the end of last year, we had close to 550 students who were identified as homeless just in Bryan ISD. And I think that that's probably a conservative number, because unfortunately, you know, students and families kind of fall through the cracks, or situations aren't brought to our attention. So we're not always able to find all of our homeless students to be able to qualify them. So that's probably even a low number.
Yeah. And of course, especially those are the kids most at risk of needing to drop out. And so no matter how many you have, there's also a large number in that age group that aren't being counted because you don't have access to them. Yeah, I'm sure that number probably shocks most people. Mm-hmm. And how it's one of the difficult things that you must deal with. How do you provide services to students with, and not have them feel stigmatized?
Yeah, we definitely don't have any kind of identifying aspect to our organization. So if we go meet with a student, other students aren't like, oh, there's the homeless office going to meet with so-and-so. They must be going through something. We typically will reach out to the families first and just kind of let them know, like, hey, this is who we are. These are the services that we have to offer. You know, these are all your educational rights under McKinney-Vento in the state of Texas. We just want to make sure that they're aware, because again, a lot of people don't even know. They're like, oh, I'm living in a hotel. I'm not homeless. You know, I have a roof, or you know, we're doubled up living with my aunt. We're not homeless. We're fine. So just kind of educating them on what does and does not qualify them as well as the services. And we just do our best to try to make students, especially, as comfortable as possible. We don't ever go into meeting with a student and say, you know, hey, we're the social worker, or, you know, we're the homeless liaison. We just basically say, like, hey, we're student support. We go around to campuses just kind of checking in on students, like, how are you? Is there anything that you need? Is there anything I can help you with? And just try to build that rapport with them, and so that they feel comfortable opening up, because yeah, it can be very stigmatizing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine it's difficult for those students to go, for example, and choose clothing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It is sad to think about children having to deal with that.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, that's probably front of mind for those students, but there's other really important issues. You know, for example, there's a huge correlation between growing up in poverty and being involved in crime later, right? Mm-hmm. So are there any aspects of the program that seek to deal with those kinds of issues?
So we do work really closely with like the juvenile case managers in the district, as well as the dropout prevention specialist. We have an attendance case manager here that monitors, you know, the students' attendance rates, and as well as their like academics, to be like, hey, we've noticed this pattern. We've noticed you haven't been coming to school. We track their behavior incidents. As well as we have one gentleman in the district who works specifically with our JJC kids, our juvenile kids, and we work really closely with him. And so we just kind of try to have our hands in all the pots so that we can be aware of what's going on, you know, what students are involved in, what's going on, and work from it from like a holistic family point of view too, because you know, if this is going on with the students, then, you know, this is probably going on with mom or dad or whoever the student is living with, and just try to do wraparound services as best we can.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole other big list, because the students are struggling, but the parents mm-hmm. are too. And so,
correct.
So if we were to talk to those students, what do you think they would identify as their biggest need?
Oh gosh, you know, they're all different, but a lot of them do, especially a lot of the kids that we see through our office, stability is the big one, because again, a lot of these students are in transition all of the time. You know, they're having to move from this family member to this family member. They've had to switch schools multiple times. There maybe isn't that stability and that consistency. And there's, you know, a lot of the times in these homes, there's not a lot of structure in the home. So the kids don't, you know, it's almost like they have to keep themselves accountable. But, you know, that's hard for a child, especially if they have all this other stuff going on. So those are probably, and those are things that we kind of pick up on. That's not necessarily what a student is going to come out and tell us that they need.
Right.
But that's kind of what we see.
Are there mentoring programs available for these kids?
There are. We also work with big brothers and big sisters here in town, and we really encourage that to a lot of our older students, especially like our male older students. You know, we think that that's super important to have, you know, someone outside of the family that they can hang out with and turn to and get advice from. We also, Project Unity has a new program. It's Family and Youth Services, and they have case managers that work with not just the student, but also, again, the family as a whole, that we also really encourage, because, again, just the more kind of wraparound services, the more connections that we can make for these students and their families, the better it is.
Yeah, the more they have a sense of community, that's got to be big in terms of overcoming that sense of loneliness and isolation.
Yeah.
We will be right back after this short message. Are you tired of having to spend your free time on home maintenance? Or do you have a family member that is unable to take care of their home? Introducing Stearns Home Care, an annual home maintenance subscription service. We come out to your home 6 times a year to take care of all of your home maintenance needs, such as cleaning gutters, replacing weather stripping, flushing your water heater, and much more. In addition to the scheduled maintenance, we are also available for handyman services. We offer free home estimates, so sign up on our website at stearnshomecare.com or give us a call at 979-696-0524.
And also academics are a big thing. Of course, you know, dropout rates are higher, kids in poverty. And also it's harder to navigate the educational process. That, you know, we talk about food deserts. I mean, these are areas of town that don't have access to good nutritional food, but I think there's educational deserts too. So kids that don't grow up around people who've had opportunities in education don't know how to take advantage of those opportunities. My wife did her thesis on segregation under one roof. And, you know, because if you're going to be college bound, you have to start so early now. Those are hard things to navigate for anybody. Kids in poverty are really at a disadvantage. Is there any help for them to in those regards?
Yeah, I guess. Well, Brian ISD does feel like they do a pretty good job on to make sure that there's opportunities for educational success, even for the students that might be struggling. Whether it's like before school tutorials, after school tutorials, they do weekend tutorials. And so they really do their best to try to give as much support as they can to students. But we, from our perspective, education is important, and we really try to keep our kids in school and educate on how important a high school diploma is. But also let them know, like, hey, if college is not for you, like, that's okay. Maybe it's not for everyone. Learn a trade. We also do a lot of referrals to Job Corps and the benefits of that can bring. You know, they give them housing, they give them food, they give them, you know, free training for all these different trades. And so we just try to let them know that, like, hey, maybe this path isn't your thing, but this other path could be. Like, let's explore those options.
And as I know that Blend has been increasing its work with the trades. Has Blend been an asset for the kids and Brian?
Blend is a good asset. We're actually, our office is actually housed on the backside of Brian Collegiate High School. And this high school, it's a little different. It's an application process. You have to apply to get into this high school. They typically only take you in as a freshman. And then once you hit, I think it's your junior year, you start to do dual classes. So you'll do some here at Collegiate, then you'll go over to Blend. And a lot of kids graduate with an associate's degree in different stuff. So yeah, Blend is a good partner for Brian ISD.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. So what about how does the community get involved and help out?
We are blessed. So this is my second school year at Brian ISD, but I've already seen that there are many organizations or groups in town that are frequent flyers, I guess you would say, in donation, but also just regular community members that just, they might see like a post we put on Facebook, or they heard me speak at an event, or they saw me do, you know, like a 30-second news clip. And then so they reach out, but we do have certain organizations here in town, like First Baptist Church of Brian. the Realtors Association, the Junior League, that are heavy hitting in their donations to us. And we're just like so thankful for all that support, because we're within Bryan ISD, but we're technically a nonprofit entity. And so we're grant funded, we're donation based. And so any community help is very beneficial.
And if somebody, and what about like clothing? Is there a place people can drop off clothing?
Absolutely. They can drop it off at our office. As long as school is in session, our office is open. They can call, they can email and say, hey, I want to drop off on this day. We even, you know, sometimes I know people want to donate, but they don't have time. They don't have a car, you know, they're homebound. We go pick donations up. Sometimes, we try to meet people where they're at, who are willing to kind of to donate to us.
And then what's your web? Do you have a web page?
It's just bryanisd.org/projecthope.
And so if people want, can somebody make a donation from there?
They can't. We don't have like a link to do anything from there, but they, all of our information, so they can call us, they can email us. We also have a Facebook page, Project Hope in Bryan ISD on Facebook. So, I mean, the easiest way is just to reach out to us if they have any questions about, can I bring this? Can I bring that? Just to let us know.
And do you have need for volunteers at all?
Yeah, we are open for volunteers. We have, again, we're very lucky to have a few organizations in town that consistently volunteer with us. We have the YMSL, it's the Youth Men Service League for Moms and Sons that volunteer here monthly, the National Charity League, which is Moms and Daughters, as well as a lot of students come and volunteer every single day. We have, you know, students just popping in here at all hours.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what else should we know about your organization?
It's a really great organization. Again, this is only my second year here, but this support program has been around since 1992. So it's been around a very long time. And we just do a lot. We're kind of, I guess, if someone doesn't know, they bring it to us. Right. If it's an issue that comes up with a student or with a family, you know, there's a situation that arises. It's like, oh, go to Project Hope, which we welcome, because that's, you know, that's what we're here for. We just want to be able to do those wraparound services for our students and their families, because, again, it starts at the home. And so whatever we can do to alleviate some of the stress or the pressure that these students and their families are experiencing, we want to be able to do that. And sometimes it is something as simple as, hey, we need some clothes. I don't have clothes for my student to wear tomorrow. You know, sometimes it's something as simple as that, where we're like, absolutely, let's, you know, come to the closet, we got you. Or if it's other stuff, you know, we do our best. And again, if we don't have the answer or we can't help, we do our best to make those connections to the outside agencies that can.
Yeah, we're really fortunate in our town to have several organizations who are just really well connected in the community. And I think yours is one of them, and serving such an important part of our community. You know, that what
Thank
we can
you.
Do for our students is not just, you know, lots of times people think of this as, well, this is a program for these students. No, this is a program for the whole community. Mm-hmm. The more we help these students, the brighter all of our futures will be.
Absolutely. The more students that we can retain and we can love on and we can help graduate, like the more like productive citizens we send out into the community. So
that's right.
Yeah.
It's for all of us. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your service and for spending some time with us today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.